question. Some people say that the absolute truth is beyond words and so cannot be known even by scriptures. So how do we answer this question? Answer: firstly, the scriptures, especially the Upanishads, contain two kinds of statements. One is that they contain statements of the kind that yacho vacho, yato vacho vinavartante. And unto that absolute truth, when the words try to reach him, words return without reaching him. And then afterwards there are also other statements like Upanishadam. Upanishad refers to the scriptures which are called as Upanishads, but Upanishadam is a name of the absolute truth of the Lord. It is said that Upanishadam means he can be known by the Upanishads. So there are both kinds of statements. And again, this is analyzed in the Vedanta Sutra quite elaborately by Balde Vidya Bhushan in his commentary Govinda Bhashya. So basically, there are various profound and sometimes apparently contradictory statements in the Upanishads which are reconciled through logical and scriptural analysis in the Vedanta Sutra and by the Vedanta Sutra commentators. So what is described with respect to this particular analysis is that actually the Supreme Lord, if he were entirely undescribable by words, then the scriptures themselves would be entirely useless. So even the impersonalists who make the claim that the absolute truth cannot be known by words, they also write commentaries on the scriptures. So if it were true that the absolute truth cannot be known at all by words, then there is no need for them to write commentaries on the scriptures at all. So that idea, the absolute truth cannot be known at all by scriptures, is not tenable even from the actions of the impersonalists themselves. And the impersonalists may argue that actually the absolute truth is not describable, but can be signified by words. And ultimately we have to go beyond words, but words just give us a direction towards the absolute truth. So this brings us to the nature of the transcendental aspect of the absolute truth. If something is entirely transcendental, Balde Vidya Bhushan points out that then it cannot even be signified by words. It is entirely beyond signification because it is so transcendental. However, at least if signification is possible, that means there is some connection by which words can point to it. So then he gives the proper understanding that yato vacho nivartante means if one just tries to study the scriptures without applying those scriptures in one's life, then one cannot understand. However, it is also true that the scriptures cannot completely or exhaustively describe the absolute truth. So that's why that is how we understand that the scriptures can tell us about the absolute truth, but not entirely. And that is admitted even in the scriptures themselves. The scriptures themselves tell us that actually the absolute truth is so great that the Supreme Lord cannot be known by the great sages, or cannot be described by the great sages, even if they describe him for thousands of years. Even Antashesh cannot describe it. So just as a person dives into an ocean and goes deep, deep, deep into the ocean and then finds out that actually this ocean is so deep that it's unfathomable. Now that person, although we may call the ocean to be unfathomable, still the person has already understood the ocean to some extent. And to claim that the absolute truth is unknowable is also to make a statement about the knowability of the absolute truth. There is a Gita Daily article on this topic that to claim that the absolute truth is unknowable is to claim that the unknowable is to claim to know the absolute truth. Why? Because even unknowability is a state of knowledge. I know that I don't know. That is also a state of knowledge. So we cannot avoid knowledge per se. So the idea is that we cannot, just as we cannot, a diver cannot know the complete expanse of the ocean, similarly, we cannot know the complete extent of the absolute truth through words. But surely we can know the absolute truth enough so that we can become convinced about the existence, the benevolence, and the all-attractiveness of the absolute truth. And thereby we can allow him. So, it is also described in the scriptures that the absolute truth is non-different from scriptures. So sometimes the impersonalists argue that the absolute truth is self-revealing, swayam prakasha or swaprakasha, and this characteristic would be contradicted if the Vedas could reveal the absolute truth. However, it is described as ido narayana sakshat, that actually the Bhagavatam describes it and the Upanishads also describe this, that the Vedas are the form of the absolute truth himself, of Narayana, of Lord Krishna, Lord Vishnu himself. So that's why Lord Vishnu has a self-revealing capacity, and because the Vedas are non-different from him, so the self-revealing capacity of the Lord is not countered when it is said that he cannot be, when it is said that the Vedas will reveal him. So it is not just the dry academic study, but the applicational and self-transformational approach to the study of the Vedic literature through the process of devotional service pleases the Lord, and then he reveals himself. So to summarize the answer, first point was that the scriptures do talk about both kinds of statement, that the absolute truth can be known by words, not known by words. Then the reconciling aspect is that the absolute truth cannot be known completely by words. If he were completely unknown, then even any connection, any signification would also be impossible. And then we discuss that this knowability of the unknowability of the absolute truth is also a statement of knowledge. And that's why it contradicts the idea of the absolute unknowability of the absolute truth. And the fourth reasoning is point is that the absolute truth is known by grace and not known in completeness, but according to the grace of the absolute truth revealed so that we can become attracted to him. Thank you.